Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. Dr. Timothy Chen from Hackensack Meridian Health spoke at John Muir Cancer Center about advances in technology that have impacted his practice as a radiation oncologist. Notable developments that he highlighted included the radiosurgery modality ZAPX and gamma tile for patients with brain tumors, as well as proton therapy for those with various cancer types. The interview questions have been re-recorded for audio clarity. First, what were the unmet needs or perhaps the rationale to develop ZAPX gyroscopic radiosurgery with synaptive brain-only silent MRI? How does this technology differ from standard radiation and next-generation stereotactic radiosurgery?
It is a long question, but one answer, it is just better in many ways. For example, traditionally when we using this stereotactic radiosurgery to treat brain tumor, spinal tumor, it could take 3 to 4 weeks from consultation, simulation, MRI, and treatment planning. So that's the first edition, a first combination of the synaptic MRI to the radiation platform. So we literally can treat patients within 3 days. We are working on a regimen getting treated 1 day. So that means patient can even travel to us, which is we are seeing now, 2-3 hours. They come get the treatment and go home. So that's the first timing issue. So those timing issues also help us now. We can come into the next generation of research, as such a blood-brain barrier, all those in high-end research, because the timing is much shorter, so we can be very creative and we can explore the territory. Second thing about this ZAPX, it is a combination of gamma knife and cyber knife. Both are very unique and designated SRS machine platform. Problem is that for gamma knife, for example, it is kind of inconvenient. Either you have to screw the pin to patient's head, or you to use a very tight mask, so patient is uncomfortable. Also, they use a real-life cobalt source. That cobalt source is very dangerous in a way in terms of homeland security, because it has to be tightened security for the life source. Also, very expensive. Every time you change the source, it's about $1 million to start with. So with that, we have switched that to the CyberKnife. That's where the CyberKnife is starting. So doesn't need any of those. But CyberKnife is not as accurate. So this ZAPX coming kind of the best, you know, golden child of both. It's very convenient and very precise. Does not need all this fancy, uncomfortable tool or fixation. This pretty much, instead of fix patient's head for the patient, actually we ask machine to find the patient. So patients just lay down comfortably and machine will find them. And we can narrow down to that sub-millimeter accuracy, you know. So that gives us the great advantage. Because of that, we can pack in very big dose of radiation to the target, meanwhile still sparing the normal tissue. So I anticipate the outcome gonna be great.
Can you tell me a little bit about the data that have been reported with ZAPX?
ZAPX, well, good news and bad news about data reported. We are probably competing, we are the first or second in the world now in terms of ZAPX volume ramped up. We start doing it for about 6 months now. Other center probably doing it for about a year ahead of us. So the data is limited, okay? Good news and bad news. Because we are very new, we are very the early adopter for this. But judging from the data from the Gamma Knife and Cyber Knife, we anticipate this is gonna be at least better, if not much better.
What are the patient conditions that are appropriate to use this integrated technology? Are there any particular patients who may specifically benefit from this technology more than others?
Very, very good question. So starting from the conventional treatment to like the brain cancer, also metastatic brain cancer, for example, the tumor spread from somewhere else, We can also treat the benign tumor, such as meningioma, such as Hodgkin neuroma, all those benign tumor. We're actually working on a new territory now. We're learning from treating trigeminal neuralgia, the people with facial pain. We able to treat that for the past 30 years. So learning from the experience treating nerve, we are now moving into that so-called movement disorder. We are working on tremor, such as Parkinson tremor, essential tremor. We are working on OCD. We are working on addiction, that people addicted to drugs, to alcohol. We are working on seizure. So this is all the new territory because it is so precise and we can treat it.
Do you have any testimonials, anecdotes, or experiences you can share using this technology so far?
So far we had two. Our poster child, we had been recording video from the day one, before they started, what's their life and what's their treatment journey, and after. This particular gentleman, everybody can see it. It's on the YouTube. It's everywhere now. His name is Anthony. He had this meningioma in a very bad location. So he's very active person. So he starts seeing double. So found out this tumor is in the so-called cavernous sinus involving the sixth nerve. Cannot be operated. So we treated him with Zapax. So about 3 months, he starts seeing better. Obviously, he's still using the prism, but now he can do his daily routine. He plays games. He does everything. So we anticipate the prism going to be removed. So that's a wonderful, successful story. And the other, quite a few others, are trigeminal neuralgia. Those are just amazing. Trigeminal neuralgia, as you know, patients have very severe pain on the face. Way back, the dentist thought it was the teeth problem. They got all the teeth extracted. No. And the pain could be so severe. And yes, unfortunately, I did know some people commit suicide because they cannot bear that kind of pain. So we treated, so far, we have 9 patients treated now. Most of them within a week, the pain's gone.
Looking ahead, could this technology be something more widespread across the United States? Or do you think it could become even bigger on a global scale?
Absolutely. Because of the way it's designed, the traditional radiation department, the radiation machine sit in a bunker. And that bunker had to be lead, had to be concrete, and just by looking at the door itself, it's at least this wide. So patient locked in a bunker because of radiation protection. The unique design of the Zapax is self-contained. This is the first time in radiation oncology history that we, the provider, actually can be in there with them. Little the patient, it's in the chamber, they can see us, we can see them. We talk to them too during the treatment. So because of that, it no longer has to be in the large footprint. You can put in your office, put in the garage. So that footprint, that design, that's just going to help this. And so this can be populated in almost a smaller clinic, smaller area. Now, because it's very new, so the big center are testing it. So once the data mature, I think this will be very well situated in a community setting. And I recently heard doctors in a rural, like upper New York, yes, buying a few now, so cover the whole territory. So this is just, I anticipate, because of the setup, the accuracy, it would be very well populated. However, one drawback, so far it still do brain only. It does not treat anywhere the body yet, but I do anticipate in a few more years, when they make the tumor bigger, the whole body can be done.
Next, I want to talk a little bit about your use of GammaTile. Can you tell me a little bit about your use of this technology and how it has impacted your practice?
So this is in the so-called brachytherapy norm. Brachytherapy means short distance. Traditional radiation is radiation from outside. travel through body, get to the target. Brachytherapy then put radiation right in the tumor, right where the target is. So that means I can give very strong radiation where I have to go without touching anything else. The gamma tau is almost like kind of derivative from many other prior technique. Either they have a string, a seed source they implant into the brain. But the problem is location and the fixation is a problem because those source move around. So make the source stick at the right place become a concern. This gamma tau is a very creative. They implant it in a 2x2 like a stent size collagen. So when you make it wet, it becomes super sticky. So it's just like a sticker, stick on the area. So we have used them after surgeon removed the tumor. The concerned body area is still not able to sterilize them. The traditional case is that once they're done, about 4-6 weeks later, we do radiation from outside. But this time, I can start radiation on day one, put the sticker on them, give them very strong radiation without touching anything else. Also serve another great purpose is that, especially those larger tumor. Larger tumor is very hard to treat. Even after surgery, remove it, when we treat the cavity, it's still very big. So over there, we'll put this sticker on them, called it down. Another great purpose are those people we see once in a while, non-compliant or patient live far away. They're not accessible to the radiation technology. So at the surgery, we'll put a sticker on, you've done your radiation as well. So those are the applications for gamma tau.
I also want to ask you a question about your use of proton therapy. Can you give a description as to what proton therapy is and how it has helped you with your practice?
Proton therapy is type of radiation, but just a different particle hitting the target. So if you think the conventional radiation like a pistol, proton is like a cannon. Okay, so it, and also have a great purpose of it have a so-called depth charge. So we can set a cannon to be explode at certain depth. The conventional radiation, it comes and it goes. So passing through the structure. But proton therapy, we can set it where I want to go and stop right there. So with that, they become great application, number one, in pediatric cancer patient. Because of child, they still growing. So the conventional radiation can create mutation, and they eventually they could develop second cancer in their later life. So proton therapy, particularly great, designed for pediatric cancer patient. So their chance of getting mutation, getting second cancer is smaller. Second thing is about the depth charge, because we can set the way, the characteristic of this beam, so we can treat quite a lot of area that's not accessible to conventional radiation. For example, breast cancer, breast sit on top of the chest wall, and as we breathe, and also the lung get in and out of radiation. But because we can set the depth, so actually it can just confine to the breast, not to touch the lung. Many other cases, we treated also people at prior radiation, already maxed out the conventional radiation. So proton, we can set the depth right here. So those have become the popular, the common case we treated now. The last one is the basal skull tumor. Those chordoma, those are very radio-resistant cancer. So it come in handy, has been proven it's better than the conventional radiation.
Can you describe any experiences or particular cases related to your use of proton therapy?
I just saw a teenager, 15 years old. He had this tumor right in the spinal cord, a very rare disease called mixopapillary ependymoma. And those tumors usually attack the spine, and the patient could become paralyzed from the level down. Not just that, it could be very painful. So he finished a course of proton therapy for 5 weeks. About 3 weeks into it, his pain already gone. About when he completed, he can walk without a walker. Just saw him about months after, He walks everywhere. He can even jog now, okay, without a pain. Even more intriguing part, he had no urinary control before all of this. Today, mom told me, like, yeah, he go to bathroom routinely, okay? He can control them. Obviously, not a full stream. I say, keep practicing. I'm very proud of you. So those are just the example about, you know, using the technology in the right setup. Select your patient. I never want to say proton can treat everybody. Not a single modality is suitable for everybody. But I think just one of the tools we have. Compensating, or even better, is as the synergistic to the current technology. And proton does bring up a lot of extra things to the table.
Was there anything else you wanted to discuss that we previously didn't touch upon?
I think all this technology, it's not just used as it is. Technology bring us to work together. The radiation now is no longer just local radiation. Radiation can trigger immune response. So that means radiation could be a systemic treatment, especially in the norm of immunotherapy, you know, therapy now, working together with radiation actually can trigger the better cancer cure scenario. So work together as a team, multidiscipline, I think that's the future. It's no longer people as a silo, you do radiation, you do chemo, you do this. No, we all work together.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.